Hello, and welcome to another Frontside Podcast, episode 89. My name is Elric Ryan, a developer here at the Frontside. I'm joined by Will Wilsman, another developer here at the Frontside. Will, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm excited for this podcast that we have coming up here. Today, we are fortunate to have with us a podcast elite member now, Mr. Torin Billups. Torin, how you doing?
Oh, man. I joined the elite platinum club or something.
Yes, you are in the platinum club right now. I think this is probably, what, your third or fourth episode by now?
Ooh, yeah, I think the fourth.
Oh, yeah. You're in the elite club right now. You are a Midwest programmer. And I hear there is a difference between a Silicon Valley programmer and a Midwest programmer. And could you tell us about like what the difference is? Because it's the first time I've heard anything about this.
Admittedly, I stole this from a very popular developer, Justin Searles, who spoke at length one time on a podcast, not too different than this one, about his experiences consulting for companies who are more in the startup phase, or a company you would find in Silicon Valley that is mostly just trying to test an idea and get to market, versus his experience for finance or insurance companies based out of the Midwest. And I like that idea because my experiences have taught me I'm a little bit happier when I'm working for companies that are interested in quality or attributes of quality and view the software longevity as, you know, sort of mission critical versus a, you know, the software is really just a byproduct of an interesting idea. And if we validate that idea in the market, we could always rewrite the software later. So Midwest, I guess that's the short version, is we care about the work we're doing and we understand that rewrites are difficult if ever possible. So
interesting. So the Midwest seems to be concerned with long-term goals.
Long-term, yeah. I think sustainable
software, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So today you are joining us to not only talk about the Midwest and the beautiful Midwest programmers, you're here to talk about Glimmer Redux.
Glimmer Redux. It's a little library I wrote, I think, last month. The primary motivation, you know, I should start off by asking you guys if you're familiar with Glimmer.js or if you've heard of that.
I've heard of Glimmer.js. I haven't had an opportunity to play around or mess around with it yet. I don't know if that's good or bad because just really busy, but I really want to get into it. Will, what about yourself?
Yeah, I've read through the docs, but I haven't played with it at all. Looks really nice.
I think the joke that was off the air last time I was on, Will, you might remember this. You were on that podcast with Charles. I said something like, I'm not young enough to actually be working with Glimmer. And I felt that way for a long time because, you know, one thing you should know is it's pre-1.0. And if you guys have ever worked in a pre-1.0 ecosystem, myself, the biggest experience I have to draw from is really pre-1.0 Ember. And there were some big changes before 1.0. And you can imagine, back to that comment, a throwaway comment about being very young, there was actually a big change in Glimmer itself recently where they decided to, I don't know if the right word is Pascal case, but they've literally gone away from the dasherized components. You know, if you used to have foo-bar and in your template, you would actually see lowercase foo-bar. And now that would just be all uppercase, you know, well, not all uppercase, but capital F-O-O, capital B-A-R. And no dash, which was kind of a big change recently.
So like class case, kind of like React or JSX, I should
say. Yeah, exactly. They have a great blog post. Actually, we could reference that in the show notes about some of these big changes. And that release was Glimmer 0.8. So it's still, you know, kind of making its way to the 1.0. But I got interested in this really for two reasons in the last couple months. The first was, you know, if you actually go build something with Glimmer, or at least this was my experience trying to build something with Glimmer, is for the novice programmer just taking a look at it, it's really just a way to use web components to build an application. There's no routing. There's no opinions, really. There's no services like you have in Ember or context like you have in React. And so the first challenge you run up against is when you get beyond a single component or two components and suddenly you need to share some state across this application. How do you do that? And if you guys have some experience, I know at the front side with React, if you're not using MobX or Redux or something like that, a lot of times you'll see this pattern where you're actually passing a piece of state through the entire tree, or, you know, the shared state through a big part of the component tree. And of course, that becomes painful as the application gets to a certain size. And so one of the things I thought about is, if I was going to actually build a real application, the one in mind that I've certainly not built yet, because I'm not using Glimmer at work, but I always think about the Ember ride share. I thought you guys had Alex Machinier on recently talking about routing, and Alex mentions in that episode this challenge for the Ember router today to be reactive to server sent events. In the case, imagine you have like an Uber or a Lyft app, and after the ride is over, the server wants to send an event maybe, and then the app needs to react to that event, sending you maybe to a new route or sending you back to the map to pick a new ride. That's kind of the gist of the rideshare app is, and Alex, of course, I would reference anyone to that podcast. He does a lot better job describing the routing challenges, and those are a little bit out of scope for this discussion. But imagine you're going to build an app that ambitious. You're going to build Lyft in Glimmer. What I found was missing is really what we take for granted in Ember, which is the Ember service. And that is kind of like a singleton or an object that allows you to have a piece of state and then share that state around by injecting that service and only the components that need to reach up and grab that shared state. And so Redux, which I know your audience is pretty familiar with, but a quick recap of Redux is it's just kind of a global JavaScript object that has state. And there's often a library that lets you connect to that state so you can use it in your various components. And Glimmer Redux is no different than that, actually. It just allows you, instead of having to create maybe one global JavaScript object and kind of pass it down the hierarchy, you can instead just connect the components that need to be aware of Redux. And the ones that don't, of course, they just don't connect.
So I know that you had a hand or built Ember Redux, and now you built Glimmer Redux. Were there any challenges between building those two different add-ons into two different ecosystems?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I should take one minor step back because that question is a great segue. I did want to touch on the second motivation for Glimmer Redux, which is actually really closely related here. And that is, of course, I did write Ember Redux. And yep. So with every open source project, there's a little selfish motivation here. And this one is, you know, I imagine last year when Glimmer was announced at EmberConf that there would be a story of, you know, from Glimmer to Ember. The idea being, you know, you're a small startup. You just want to get your web application going. You don't necessarily like all the big conventions, or you just don't think you need all of Ember when you get started. But 6 months down the road, you're suddenly looking at tree shaking and lazy loading with engines, and you're thinking, wow, I wish we had that. Realistically speaking, like today, what would a transition for a Glimmer shop to Ember be? And honestly, I think it's tough without a library like Glimmer Redux. So of course, I wrote this with pretty much a mirror of the Connect API. So if people were to check out the README of Glimmer Redux and Ember Redux, and you looked at a connected or Redux aware component in both of those cases, the best case scenario is the only difference would be in the import. Instead of import connect from Glimmer Redux, you would be import connect from Ember Redux. Everything else underneath, all the ecosystem of Redux that you can use in both are completely compatible. In fact, if you were to move, creating like a, imagine you Ember new, and you're thinking, oh, I got to move my Glimmer rideshare to Ember rideshare. Mm-hmm. Since Redux does a good job of sort of encapsulating all the state transformations in vanilla JavaScript, you don't have to really worry about the differences between Ember object and not having Ember object. So after you did Ember new, essentially, you would copy over your components. For the most part, they're still template driven, you know, a lot of handlebars and a lot of, you know, TypeScript to JavaScript is the biggest mismatch you would have between Glimmer and coming over to Ember, of course. But there is Ember CLI TypeScript or Ember TypeScript, I think. Long story short, you would essentially copy the directories of your reducers or middleware from your Glimmer app over to Ember, and there should be no changes necessary at all.
Wow. I know that is the dream that you touched on there of, I think they phrase it as NPM installing your way up to Ember. So in your perspective, do you think that is going to be a thing? Is it going to get there? What are your feelings on that?
I would definitely get in trouble, you know, if I didn't say up front that, you know, I'm not on the Ember core team. Sometimes people get that confused for some reason, but, you know, I don't speak for the core team, and I'm not really privy to anything. But I do think that the core team has this in mind, that there will be, you know, a set of NPM installable modules that eventually land you the full set of tools and abstractions that we see in Ember today. A big one that I hit on earlier is kind of services. You know, what will services or the Glimmerified version of services look like when it lands? Yep. And what about routing? Those sort of things. So this was really my personal take on, you know, how could I make that migration right now without asking permission from the core team? Yep. And Glimmer Redux, I think, honestly, it offers a good 80% of that. You still have the routing issue, which is a little challenging. And you have the TypeScript issue, which you just have to be aware of some of the limitations of using TypeScript in Ember.
That's an excellent point that you made, because when people outside of the core team take it upon themselves to then try to implement different things around the ecosystem, that can then be motivation or an example for people on the core team, people outside of the core team, to see like, oh, you know, this is a possible solution to something that we're trying to reach, a goal we're trying to reach. So kudos to you.
Yeah. And back to your original question about 15 minutes ago, was, you know, what was different about the ecosystems of writing Ember Redux, the add-on, yep, and Glimmer Redux, which is, I don't really even want to call it an add-on. I kind of label it as a Glimmer library. Yep. But to your point just a second ago, you know, when I got interested in saying like, all right, I wrote Glimmer Redux, now I want to share it so other Glimmer authors don't need to copy paste this file. And the first resistance I hit up on, well, there really is no Glimmer library or Glimmer add-on. You could write an Ember add-on, because if you guys get into Glimmer, you'll find this as well. There are certain hooks that are used in the Glimmer build process where Ember add-ons like Ember CLI SAS can be used from Glimmer. But the challenge I had using an Ember add-on, of course, is that this wasn't a Ember component or anything Ember related. It needed to really be test-driven from a Glimmer app. So really, if you were to NPM install this, what you're pulling in is effectively my Glimmer app that also exports publicly this connect function, which is not necessarily, like you're alluding to, maybe anything the core team thought could happen. And a big reason for that as well, and one of the challenges building this, is that Glimmer right now, if you're to try and emulate my, you know, quasi success doing this, is really bring your own build system to actually share Glimmer components or internals like this Connect API that Glimmer components can use. And what I mean by that is, on the website, one of the challenges I faced was, you know, and this isn't a knock against the core team, this is just my honest experiences. I went out and read the Glimmer.js docs, and it says right in the installing guide, you know, Glimmer uses Ember CLI, this battle tested command line interface from the Ember project. Now, pause right there, because again, not to beat up on the Ember core team or anything, but assuming in that one sentence that they're using Ember app, what I noticed when I opened the Ember CLI build file is I was actually inheriting, or the project was actually, a Glimmer app. Now, I did a little digging here, and I think this is validated, at least back when I worked on Glimmer Redux last month, that Glimmer app is not like inheriting or, you know, pulling in a bunch of shared code really from Ember app. It's actually a completely separate build tool. And so as part of this process, I actually, for the first time, had to go through and learn rollup and understand how the Broccoli process is kicked off, how both rollup and Babel are used to build this, and then how to apply some convention. So if you guys are familiar with Ember, you have this add-on directory and an app directory. The guidance from the Ember team is around how to structure add-ons is, of course, you write all your kind of private-ish or add-on code in the add-on directory, and then whatever you think will be public, you export from the app directory, and that sort of merges it into the tree when the application is built. And so people are allowed to use your code, but then also they can override that code. And one of the challenges here is, if I wanted that exact same API and I wanted people to make this migration from Glimmer to Ember using Redux, I had to actually invent that convention. So I wrote a rollup plugin, and it's all listed in the docs here. And one of the strange things people who are kind of checking out Glimmer Redux hit me with first is, so I see a yarn install Glimmer Redux, but then second step is installing this rollup plugin. What's the deal? And I think it is because most people assume the Ember CLI you're using is identical, and somehow I should have written an Ember CLI add-on for this. So I think that was the biggest learning curve, and people should just be aware of that. You know, if you're interested in sharing code, right now there is really not a baked story, and that's okay. It allows people to innovate. Of course, the innovator's dilemma being that I don't really know, without spending some time creating an RFC or getting involved with the core team, how to make that a thing. I ultimately just hope the core team improves this, and I'm sure they will. But for right now, I didn't really want to wait around for it.
Gotcha. So what is Rollup for people that are not familiar with what Rollup is? I'm sure everyone is probably familiar with Babel by now because it's like just used everywhere. But what is Rollup?
Oh, wow. Embarrassingly, I don't know the technical, you know, what would be on GitHub, I would say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the role that you can see, yeah, if you actually step through the node process as your Glimmer app is being built, uh-huh. is it helps really condense the overall build size. And so what I see is it's essentially traversing like Browserify in some ways. This is, again, just my primitive look, but it sort of traverses all the imports you have and then tries to pull in the bare minimum to keep the bundle size as small as possible.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Torin, you have had a lot of experience with Redux, and Redux is now like being used in several different software platforms, I guess, or software areas like Vue, and they probably even have it in Angular now, they have it in Embers and React. So Redux is kind of spreading its wings and its seeds across every ecosystem. Do you feel as though Redux has reached a state where people are just satisfied with the current state of Redux? Or do you think that people are going to be then looking to build another abstraction on top of Redux? Do you have any thoughts on that?
The fact that Redux is so simple has allowed it to become so ubiquitous. I heard someone say this term the other day, which is like, ubiquity over consistency. And mm-hmm. that, I think, describes both the growth of Redux and why it is kind of the de facto for data management across all ecosystems. I think there's two camps that I hear about, and I'm curious if you guys see this in your consulting work, but there are certainly the developer that they see this ubiquity but no consistency and see chaos, you know, their experiences. And I can totally relate to this. Yeah. There are development shops I've seen where, you know, one team goes this direction, another team, because there's no strict guidance, goes another. And then when those teams meet up for a project in 12 months, they look at each other and the apps are, of course, nothing alike, mm-hmm. Which is a big problem that Ember tries to solve. And my biggest question here really is kind of curving us slightly back to the Glimmer story is, Glimmer is a little interesting. If I can reframe your question, you know, Ember is traditionally very big on convention. And I think a lot of the community that is still in Ember today, in large part, is because of this convention, these guide rails that the community has set up. But Glimmer being this NPM install your way to Ember, I think along the way, there's going to be either a new set of users that are coming just for the wins of the Glimmer VM, and they happen to find themselves not necessarily in love with some restrictions or opinions that would come with a migration directly to Ember. And I'm curious if the Glimmer community that will show up for that is mostly Ember-backed, meaning that they want to slowly build with RFCs a process that the entire community uses and there's sort of one solution like we end up with often in Ember, or if the community evolves more experimentally like you saw in React where, you know, there was, of course, Redux, but then there was MobX, and then there was various middlewares for Redux that different teams would try out. And eventually, you know, there was no one proven way, but there was always at the heart of it, Redux with some extensions or other add-ons around it that got teams to where they are today. And I'm curious to see where this Redux, especially with the Glimmer influence, where it will end up.
Yeah, you touched on it a little. Like, I think one of the, maybe not a problem necessarily, but one of the biggest barriers in Redux and React and maybe Glimmer, I'm not sure, is that it's almost too loose without any kind of opinions at all. So that kind of gives developers the freedom to mess things up big time. So what's your opinion on that with Glimmer? Like, Glimmer is headed toward this NPM install, but is it too loose?
I guess that's the question I wish we both had the answer to. You know, it's funny. It's a double-edged sword, right? If it's loose, it seems like somebody's going to go create a mess. But at the same time, if it's loose, it often, you know, on the surface, it often seems like it has less surface area and as a result, a lower learning curve. React is a good example where most people, I think, glommed on to React, or at least in my experience, I liked React because it was so simple and there wasn't a huge amount of things to learn. There wasn't this full ecosystem, at least out of the gate. But of course, what you find the moment you want to join a team or go build something ambitious is that you've got to make a bunch of decisions. And that is certainly the calling card of Ember. What makes Ember special is they've settled on a handful of those decisions. So I think ideally I'd like to see the community in Glimmer check out Redux, get an idea of what problem it actually solves for them. And if it is useful, then find a set of middleware or extensions from the wider ecosystem that actually solve the problems they face. Back to this Glimmer rideshare example, I think one thing that stands in the way as I kind of play around with that is just a very basic routing story. And even if that is as simple as, hey, I have a component that I'll just call a route, what hooks in this Glimmer component are correct to fetch data? In the Ember ecosystem, we have a very special route object, essentially, who has a set of hooks that are known for handling the asynchronous stuff in our Ember apps. But there isn't anything like that yet in Glimmer, which is kind of the next stumbling block for me to actually go build something big. So kind of messing around with the idea of this reactive router built out of components, Glimmer components, that is. But until that's actually kind of surfaced, I'm mostly just spitballing here.
Cool.
With flexibility comes a lot of power, but then there's also the case where that flexibility could lead to chaos. But being that something is flexible, it allows you to adapt it to whatever your particular needs are, you know, the special snowflake as everyone ends up being. And do you think that, because Ember has been around for a while now and it has like proven itself and is battle tested in a lot of areas. Now, as we're, you know, NPM installing our way from Glimmer up to Ember, do you think that they'll be able to then extract some of those hardened pieces of Ember out of Ember and then give us a solutions inside of the Glimmer ecosystem based off of the Ember ecosystem and then not have so many like varying different opinions or different packages or add-ons or libraries that you may need to pull from, that you may just have like a set of like Glimmer approved libraries or add-ons to use to then get your way up to this full Ember app. Do you think that that's a road they're taking or a possible road?
Yeah, I think for sure. You know, a lot of the talk right now, if you're in the Glimmer channel on Slack in the Ember community, I think the next big step here is having the ability to take a Glimmer component as it exists today and use that, extrapolate from there that the plan is to kind of prove out things in this more experimental ecosystem, this pre-1.0 Glimmer ecosystem. And then as they become more solid, we essentially just adopt them and then use them as first class in Ember. I actually am just projecting, you know, this isn't true, but I envision a world where in, you know, the months ahead, we're essentially using Glimmer components in Ember. And so I'm already sort of challenging myself with how would a library or add-on author help people make this progression from Glimmer to Ember if they don't do something like I've done here with Glimmer Redux, because eventually there will be this sort of shared component world, at least in the middle ground, where Ember has both Ember components and Glimmer components. So I think it's a road yet to be traveled. And that's why I'm excited to kind of be on the podcast today and get people talking about building libraries for Glimmer, is that just because there's not, you know, a cow path or a paved road for you right now, I think if you learn just a little bit of roll up or you dive in and take a look at the DI system built into Glimmer right now, that there is a lot you can actually do with it. And I know there are certainly big named add-on authors already checking it out in preparation for such a migration.
Besides the whole roll-up process, was there any other friction points in integrating Redux with Glimmer?
One that I want to call out, but it is, I believe, still roll-up related. It's mostly a PSA to warn people, is if you are building one of these little libraries like I talked about with Glimmer, and you're going to do a yarn link, which means that you're going to just work locally and not really publish to NPM until you're done, be aware that if you're yarn linking and then going over to another project to kind of test this Glimmer library, that you will actually get temporarily two copies of Glimmer. And in fact, that is how this rollup plugin I wrote sort of as the bring your own build for Glimmer became essential, is I was like, oh, wow, I'm getting two copies of the Glimmer component. And so what was happening is when I would run my example app, I was kind of playing with this Connect API, it was always calling into the wrong Glimmer code. And so the code I was expecting in my add-on was never firing. Well, come to find out, when you're not doing yarn link or you're not working locally, this isn't a problem. So actually, Tom Dale reached out and helped me a little bit later, because my first version of the rollup plugin had this little hack in there that said essentially, hey, I'm going to mask away this duplicate Glimmer problem. And it turns out it's not a problem. So just if you are working locally, be aware that you will have this problem, is my guess.
What gets you most excited using Glimmer? Are there any specific features or things within Glimmer that get you most excited? And I guess a second question would be, what do you think Glimmer is going to unlock for the future of app development in Ember?
Yeah, I think the first thing I get excited about was visible in this talk Tom Dale gave a couple weeks ago. And I'll try and dig that up for the show notes, where he kind of showed the advantages of Glimmer over the competition today. And the big thing that just blew me away was some of the advantages over even Preact, which I was kind of surprised at. A lot of times there's this rivalry for performance, especially between React and Angular and Ember, but no one ever really talks about Preact, which is kind of known in a lot of ways as like the thinner, lighter weight React. If I'm not completely wrong, I'm sure somebody's going to table flip on that definition. But my view of it was that, you know, if you were really performance hungry, you could check out Preact, which was, you know, for performance reasons, it was a smaller bundle size. So you're just actually shipping less JavaScript, which means you're parsing less JavaScript. And Tom went directly after this library in his talk and just showed a very interesting point at the end. I don't want to spoil it for people, but let's just say it appeared to show Glimmer as just a order of magnitude better as a primitive for building web components. And I think that is the big draw. And how will that make Ember better? I think mostly in the same way that I just described, where we'll essentially get a component for free in Ember that is just a better performing primitive for the web.
Yep. So I'm not too familiar with the guts of Glimmer, but from what I understand, Glimmer compiles down and has some opcodes that then compile down to binary. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think there is a binary format that they're shipping, or they will soon be shipping. And that if you're really interested in the technical details of that, I'll definitely be sure you check out this talk from Tom.
Yeah,
because the real magic behind this is they essentially boil it down to the ability to compile these templates down to bytecode, as they call it. And Tom has a really funny part in this talk where he says, you know, it's not a marketing term, this bytecode word. And it becomes true because later in the talk, you hear that essentially the Glimmer VM, or the big value add of Glimmer's VM, is that you're just feeding it bytecode until the next 16 millisecond buffer comes up to paint, in which case you sort of just pause. And that allows, I think, as he describes, it allows less jank, or allows less freezing of that main thread, because you're releasing control back to the UI every 16 milliseconds, essentially.
Yesterday, they had a Ember panelist meetup, or it was like a meetup with all of the Ember, well, not all of the Ember, but a lot of the Ember core team was there. And Ed Faulkner had made a point that since Glimmer compiles down to bytecode, that then it's not too far of a stretch to then use that with something like WebAssembly that would then give Glimmer a like extreme performance boost. And it sets up Glimmer to be used in what can be potentially the future of the web, which is WebAssembly, which I thought was like really interesting. And it kind of blew my mind to think that, oh yeah, that is true, since it you know, compiles down to bytecode, and you know, WebAssembly compiles down to that, like that we can get that performance boost, and that Glimmer is forward thinking in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. That's one of the things I honestly value about the Ember core team, is they're very both tactical and visionary at the same time, where in the short term, they're doing things to accomplish real pain points we have, but without anyone really realizing it, they're also setting up the stage to solve huge problems that we're all going to face in 6, 12, 18 months. So I definitely appreciate and love the work these guys are doing. They should hear about it. Obviously, this is all open source, and most of this time is gifted, you know, just given away. So I really appreciate the core team.
Speaking of performance, we know that the Ember has a run loop, and basically most of these libraries have some sort of loop that determines when they should batch things together or render things to the screen. Does Glimmer have this concept, and like, what do they take advantage of to make it as performant as you say?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, and I'm probably minimally equipped to answer it, but the short version of it is there is no equivalent run loop for batching work that I've seen inside of Glimmer. Instead, you're more directly interacting with request animation frame, which I'm reading this directly from Mozilla here, but request animation frame tells the browser you wish to perform browser call a specific function to update an animation before the next repaint. So where does this come in for Glimmer? Essentially, when you call set or you decide to change a property that Glimmer is listening to, and for anyone who's not familiar with Glimmer, you designate this by using the tracked attribute. And the tracked attribute, when you change a value, fires this set property did change. And behind the scenes, set property did change, if you are familiar with Ember, in my mind is close to notify property change, which is what happens when you do ember.set. So if you've ever actually changed something in Ember, behind the scenes, there is a notify property change event fired. And then we sort of queue that work. And it's a similar-ish process, except that there is no run loop. What we do is we just call schedule re-render, I think, in Glimmer. And that just fires off request animation frame to try and re-render within that 16 millisecond window before the next repaint.
Cool. So yeah, from my understanding, it doesn't look like the request animation frame is Glimmer's run loop, essentially.
Yeah, I think I saw actually a discussion between someone on Ember Core kind of saying in the public channel that, yeah, if you're using Ember's run loop, the equivalent-ish today would be request animation frame. But the point came up that there's really no way to have a different set of queues because Ember itself has many different queues in the run loop, and request animation frame, as far as I know, really is just one function with a single callback where you try and fit in as much work before that repaint as you can. I don't think there's prioritization like you would get in the Ember run loop. But at the same time, I'm not sure if that's actually a requirement. I don't think request animation frame was as mature as it is today back when Backburner, which is behind the scenes what Ember run loop is using, was built years ago.
Since Glimmer is using request animation frame and not the Ember run loop, is it going to continue to use request animation frame in the future, or are they going to develop like a run loop equivalency for Glimmer?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's, I'm definitely out of my depth on that one. I know from looking, you know, inside the code, the render work essentially calls like a begin to say, you know, begin doing your work, which I believe is like the reconciliation type work if you have a React background, I believe. And I don't know what decides to end that. If the request animation frame is truly saying, hey, we are at the 16 millisecond budget and we're going to quit feeding the Glimmer VM bytecode instructions now because we need to go back and paint. I would guess that that is sort of the high level narrative, but I actually don't know the implementation details.
Okay. So since, you know, Glimmer is pre 1.0, it's a place for you to experiment, try out new things, really exciting area to play around in. What kind of applications do you see people building today using Glimmer? And what's a good application that's a good fit for Glimmer right now for you to, you know, experiment with?
Yeah, the big application that I've seen that exists and is being built with Glimmer in its current form is the Glimmer Playground. The Glimmer Playground is kind of an area to go mess around with Glimmer if you've never used it or you just want to get familiar with the basics. As far as what is an ideal application, honestly, I think we're at a point where, you know, we need to push the bounds of what a purely component-based library can do. I think if you could come up with some kind of basic routing story and have a mechanism to share state and bubble events, whether that's, you know, Redux or some kind of homegrown service layer at some point, that would allow you, in my opinion, to build just about anything. The only caveat being you're going to be missing a ton of opinions and you're going to be paving new ground. So just be aware that you know, happy path for any pre 1.0 is, you know, to be aware that they could change anything at any time. But that shouldn't really restrict you from making a hobby project out of it. So back to your original question, I would say building any app that you're okay to go back and rework. So maybe, you know, not necessarily reinventing Facebook or something like that with it this moment. But at the same time, it'd be great if someone did, right, in a hobby way, because we need to see some of the constraints and challenges, just as, you know, I got playing around with it myself and noticing, well, gosh, if I'm going to build anything with Glimmer, I've got to have a way to share state and bubble events up to this single atom at the top that shares, allows me to share all state. So I think without some experimentation, we just won't know what apps are possible.
Yep. So we've been talking a lot about Glimmer today and using Glimmer. So since Glimmer is pre 1.0, is there any or are there any limitations that people should be aware of when they're going to be going into building a new Glimmer app?
Yeah, for Glimmer Redux specifically, one of the challenges that people would see and they should know about if they're going to use this little Glimmer library is that it doesn't yet allow you to write reducers in TypeScript, which would be a little counterintuitive, because if you get into Glimmer, you'll notice the big difference is everything is in TypeScript and not JavaScript. Luckily, though, I think this is really just a build tool decision. And truthfully, the kind of spike version of this I have where you can use TypeScript doesn't require any change to the Glimmer Redux library at all. In fact, it's completely unchanged. The difference here is that the rollup plugin I use needs to see a change. So it's kind of weird in that way. Back to my point earlier, where you kind of bring your own build chain. And one of the things I don't like right now, which is the reason I haven't published this TypeScript version of it, is that I'm actually doing a TypeScript compile of all the reducers or middleware in the rollup plugin. And so with the mass confusion right now between Broccoli, rollup, and Babel, I just don't feel really great about it, mostly because I have not truly been in the guts of the Glimmer app build tool or the application pipeline yet. And I want to be a bit more educated there before I ship something. Back to being a Midwest developer here, I just don't feel good about shipping something and then saying, whoops, we got it wrong. So I take a lot of time, and I also take a lot of pride in what I am shipping. So I want to have a really good story about TypeScript. It does make for a little bit of a weird experience, you know, bouncing between a Glimmer component written in TypeScript and then flipping back to a reducer file written in JavaScript. So just be aware of it. At the same time, I didn't want to completely halt shipping it because I think we need to actually build apps with this. And a concession here being that, of course, you have to write reducers in JavaScript was still enough for me personally to get some value out of building Glimmer apps. And it honestly got me building them sooner.
Now, is there a way to use Glimmer Redux without the rollup? Like, can we import something into our Glimmer app to use it? Or with this rollup is required?
Yeah, that's a great point. You can omit the rollup plugin entirely. What that results in is you'll have to do some hand wiring yourself. One of the upsides or one of the benefits of this rollup plugin that I wrote is it sort of conventionally provides a store and Redux thunk, kind of like a happy path for people who are just not familiar with wiring up their own Redux store. And if you forego this plugin, you just have to do that yourself. And you may actually have to do some kind of rollup hacking in your Glimmer app, which is kind of the thing I wanted to avoid. The one in particular that I know you'd have to do is there is a Node ENV that is looking for a production setting in Redux. And so the first thing you'll have to do is use a rollup replace plugin to replace Node ENV with Ember ENV. And if you can't do that, you'll actually get a error in just trying to stand up your Glimmer app with Redux.
Interesting.
So Torun, are you giving any talks or have any books or anything that you want to get out there and talk about?
I'm not actually on like a speaking circuit right now. I am certainly probably like you guys are throwing a talk or two together for the EmberConf proposals that are now out. I think they're open until November 21st. If anyone is thinking about submitting a talk to EmberConf, this would be next March. Now is the time to get those in. And I certainly have one up there, but I've got one off the top of my head that I would certainly like to find some time and submit that's related to Glimmer, actually. So,
all right, cool. Well, we had a wonderful podcast today. We touched on Glimmer Redux and Glimmer. And I want to thank Torun for coming on. Thank you, Torun.
Yeah, always good to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, what's the fifth time I'll have to be on? I don't know if that'll be in 2017, though.
Yeah, we're going to bring you back for a fifth time. And I would also like to thank Will for coming on the podcast as well. Will, thank you.
Well, thanks for hosting, Ulrich.
Yes, anytime. So, Torun, if people want to reach you, is there a particular place on Twitter or anything that people can reach out to you or email anything?
Yeah, GitHub. I got my email out there, but also on Twitter, of course, you can reply me there. And if you have a question specifically about Glimmer Redux, of course, you can go to GitHub and throw an issue up there or hit me in the eRedux channel on the Ember community Slack.
Sweet. Yes. So thank you all once again for listening. This is the Frontside signing off. And if you want to reach out to us, you can always hit us up at the frontside.io, and we always want to hear about your new projects that you're working on. So thank you for listening, and that's Peace from the Frontside.
Everybody have a good Thanksgiving.